This is Andy Thomas from the Masculine Journey podcast, where we discover what it means to be a wholehearted man. Your Chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
You say either, I say either, you say neither, and I say neither. Either, either, and either, neither. Let's call the whole thing off.
This show is about a black guy and a white guy, two friends who've been friends a long time, one a Democrat, one a Republican.
And one of the things that we wanted to do is just share our experiences of our friendship and finding common ground on all those issues that we come against.
You like potato, and I like potato. You like tomato, and I like tomato. Potato, potato, tomato, tomato. Let's call the whole thing.
Do we talk about them? Do we not talk about them? In old days, Bill, it would be something called, you know, the water cooler.
And, oh, by the way, folks, you're going to have to guess which one is black and which one is white, because this is radio.
But what they don't have to guess is which one loved God.
Amen.
We both love God.
Amen.
We love, both love Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. Hello, welcome to the news radio show, Common Ground. I'm Odell Cleveland with my partner in crime, Bill Goble. Bill, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Odell.
This show is about a black guy and a white guy, two friends who've been friends a long time, one good looking, that would be me, and the other part would be Bill. And we just look at things differently, and we talk about our differences. And one of the things we're going to talk about today is just how do we deal with racial issues when they affect relationships? Do we talk about them? Do we not talk about them? In old days, Bill, it would be something called, you know, the water cooler. So how do you feel about that, Bill? Just sitting down talking as a white guy, talking about our racial issues, things that we see and happen every day on the news, the thing that make us uncomfortable.
Well, Dell, you know, we've been talking about doing this show for a long time. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we wanted to do is just share our experiences of our friendship and our relationship growing together, finding common ground on all those issues that we come against. And I'm excited to come in and share stories with you.
And I think as Christians, we have to learn how to get together because we're not in heaven. You know, Bill, it was interesting. One of the things that when we met, I grew up in Charleston, South Carolina, public housing, single mom, divorced single mom of four kids, and I came up through segregation and all that kind of stuff. Can you tell the listening audience how you grew up and where you grew up?
Odell, I grew up in a suburb of Cleveland called Parma. It's about 120,000 people, outside of High Point, North Carolina.
Any black people in Parma?
There was not one.
Not one black person,
not
Bill?
Not one.
Come
not
on, Bill,
one.
You got to have one, token black person, a token black person town?
I might have seen one drive by, but there was never one there. I think the bus driver might have been the only
maybe,
one.
Maybe, yeah. But he didn't live there. He was just coming there to work, and don't let the sun go down on you.
Yeah. In fact, if a black person drove through the town, the police would stop him and escort him out. So it was back then, it was the way it was. You know, I grew up in the 50s. My views have changed on that, and a lot of people's has. So I'm anxious to share with you some of the things that I've grown with changes related to that and many other things.
Bill, do you think when we get to heaven, you think God's going to say this side of heaven is for black people and that side of heaven is for white people? Well, help us out from the whole perspective, because I think sometimes we don't always understand. We believe in God, we trust in God, we believe in faith, but we are who we are. We're humans.
Yeah. You know, what's kind of bugged me is that people have said the most segregated place is Sunday mornings in the country. And I know we worship different. I've gone to, you know, black churches, and it's a long service.
Yeah, well.
Us white people have short services compared to you. And so you got to pack a lunch if you're going to go to service.
Yep, and you got to learn how to have some rhythm when you come to our services too, because now we're going to sing, Bill. We're going to sing. So you sit by me and take my lead, you know, take my lead.
Well, you know, my wife is funny. When we start singing in our white church, I try and clap and sing at the same time, and my clap's off the beat.
Well, you know, it's interesting. One of the things that we do, we find common ground. We both like to hunt. We both like to fish. We both like to travel. And on one occasion, Bill invited me to go deer hunting. I like to go deer hunting. Bill, can you tell a story about when we went deer hunting, and then I'll jump in there also.
Okay. We were going deer hunting up in the mountains of North Carolina. And we're a good friend. John Wilson has the oldest house in the county. It's an 1805 house. And he invited us to go hunting up in the mountains. So we met them at a restaurant in town. It was a little honky-tonk restaurant. And Odell and I walked in. They were already there sitting in the back at a table. And we walked in, and they waved at us, and we went and sat down. We had our meal and had a nice conversation. And when we were driving back, Odell asked me, he says, did you see what happened when I walked in? And I said, no, I didn't. What happened? He goes, everybody got quiet. And as I reflected, I said, oh my gosh, he was right. Everybody got quiet and looked at Odell.
When the good-looking black guy showed up and walked in the door with Bill, the place got quiet. It was interesting because I'm as a corporate sales rep, at one time I understand it. So I walked in a place, no black people in there, not even the waiter. Nobody's black. So we walked in and the place got quiet, audience. It just got quiet. Imagine, you know, when you go in a restaurant, you hear the kind of overtones of conversations, just people having a good time on a Friday night. And I walked in and I purposely allowed Bill and the other gentleman to walk in first because I didn't want to be walking in because I understood. And they walked in first and I walked in. And then when I walked in, the place got quiet. It had a little band on the side who was playing something and it was happened to be in between sets. So it got quiet and I felt the eyes. Now, I'm not paranoid or anything like that, but I felt the eyes and I knew. And so we went on and sat down. And I was thinking in my mind, because I'm from Charleston, South Carolina in the 60s. And I said, okay, Odell, what do you do if they refuse to serve you? Now, let me just say, when I sat down, the people were as nice as they could be. The waitress, she was just nice and bubbly. I ended up ordering fish and grits. Fish and grits in the mountains of North Carolina, Bill. This old country boy from South Carolina ordered fish and grits. But the experience was great. But a lot of times, audience, when it comes to race and it comes to culture and it comes to perception, even as Christians, we don't always understand. We look at it through our lenses. And I was just bringing a point of clarity to my friend, Bill, did you understand what happened? It wasn't that it was right or wrong. It's just that it happened. He said, oh, I didn't think about that, Odell. And I think a lot of times as Christians, when we have relationships with someone who's not like us in a different culture, then we don't understand what they're going from and are going through. And so that was that part. And then we went up the mountain. Everything was good. Then the next night, it rained that night. So the next day we were going up the mountain and the truck got bogged. Oh, my God. You know, we don't have mountains and public housing down in the low country of Charleston, South Carolina. So we had to put on all our gear and start tracking up the mountain. And that was hard enough because Odell's a lot of overweight, but he's still good looking. So as I go up the mountain and it was wet, you have to think about mountains and wet is mud. So now you have to be careful where you place your feet and all that. By the time I got up that mountain, I was hopping and puffing and doing this. And Bill just looked at me trying not to laugh. Him and the other gentleman laughed. But I finally caught my breath and we got in the deer stand and we were sitting there. And about an hour later, Bill taps me on the shoulder and said, Odell, look here. And what did you show me, my friend?
Well, we were in the same deer stand and it was an old deer stand. It had a little window and we'd have to stand up and look out the window every now and then. So we took turns and I stuck my head out and there was a big old buck.
A big old buck. Audience, you need to understand, not just a buck. One of these big old, I think either 8-point or a 10-point. And now, you know, even Christians, you know how we start stretching the truth about how big the fish was or how big the buck was. So it was just a gorgeous buck, one that looked like it would have been on the calendar. And I said, oh my God. Thank you. And Bill said, and I said, shoot it, Bill. He said, no, you shoot it. Why did you say that?
Well, you know, I wanted you to experience getting a trophy buck. I've gotten them in the past, and I wanted you to have that experience. I was there to help you. And so you took your gun, and you took your shot. And audience, I think he had buck shakes because he wounded it. And then the fun began.
Oh, my God. For those who've ever been buck fever, you know, if any of you ever experienced buck fever, I saw it. Bill said, take the shot. And I'm like, okay, so now I'm like, okay, I have to hit him in the lungs, hit him a little bit, aim a little bit before the shoulder, and boom. And, you know, something happened because next thing I knew, I had a cut over my eye with the scope or something like that. And then I'm like, okay, but it's okay. And me and Bill gave each other the fist pump high five because I thought when I got out, the buck would be just laying there, pretty as it pleased, smiling. And I already had the Facebook picture where I was going to be holding the buck and we're going to take the picture of the buck. And I was going to be on Facebook, my brother, the good-looking black guy with the 10-pointer on Facebook. Look at me. How do you like me now? Even though I almost lost all my breath coming up the mountain, it was worth it because it was Odell's buck.
Yeah. And we went there and there was no buck. There was nothing. And John Wilson came up. He heard the shot. He came up and he goes, what happened? And
we question. See, you know, that's the question of a true hunter. Nobody want to hear what happened, especially when you miss.
Yeah.
But we did see a blood trail and tell him about the blood trail. Oh,
well,
my God.
Well, you know, I'm a Boy Scout and John Wilson's a Boy Scout, so we're good at tracking. And we see this blood trail and we start tracking it. Well, this thing took us down the mountain, back up another mountain, back down and down another one. And we're in the woods, and John's hollering, I see it. And I never saw it, but we're tracking this thing. And I look up, and I said, now, where's Odell?
Well, wait a minute. Odell, I told you, Odell's the good-looking black guy, slightly overweight, a little bit more overweight. I was just catching my breath from coming up the mountain. So the idea of going back down the mountain, up the mountain, down the mountain for a deer, I'm like, listen, they'd be bagging me, carrying me out of here. Yeah.
So I'm looking up, and I'm going, this is Odell's deer. What am I tracking it for? He should be down here.
Because of my brother, Christian love. Yeah. And Odell was out of shape and overweight, out of shape, and really embarrassed. You know, yeah. Just embarrassed. I can't go up and down those mountains like that.
Well, then we finally get to a point that we lost the trail. We didn't know what happened. We couldn't find it. We started doing the circles and trying to figure it out. And we were all pretty tired from doing up there. And Odell was shot. He was really tired.
But then the bad part about it, or the good part about it, then we come on the other side of the mountain and one of those little hollows. And then John's like, okay, now we on some other people's property now. And I'm like, dun, 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 black guy in the middle of the woods on somebody else's property in a place where they ain't used to seeing black guys. I'm like, okay, how do I get out of here without getting shot?
Yeah.
And we went, and John's like, be careful. So we finally got out, and we finally got back to his property.
Yep.
You know?
That was scary because he said that these people aren't friendly. They aren't good neighbors. They don't like people on their property, and they got dogs.
Did they say they don't like people, or they don't like black people on their
property? Well, I think he was implying that. I knew what he was saying, and I said, oh, my goodness gracious. And
you brought your best black friend, Odell, up here to get shot, Bill. How are you going to go back and tell my wife you got the black guy, the black preacher shot, Bill?
You know, it's funny. It's like when we go hunting, we did at Granny's, and yeah. There was a bear up there, and yes. You were worried about the bear?
Yeah, I was worried about the bear.
Yeah, I tell you. But the reason you were is because you were the slowest runner.
Maybe the slowest runner, but again, in public housing, we don't have bears. We have rats, but we don't have bears. You know, it's just a different culture. It's just different culture. And it was interesting, guys. We went from there, and everything was great. And then next year, Bill calls me and says, hey, Odell, it's hunting season. Let's go hunting. Well, let me tell you what happened. The good-looking black guy, which would be me, who's full of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, which would be me and Bill. Bill says, let's go hunting. Well, that was right after the 20 election, you know, the election with President Trump and President Biden. And I'm like, Bill, I'm not going. He said, why aren't you going? I said, listen, man, white people are all upset about this election. The last thing I want to do is go in the mountains again with the election. I don't want to do that. And Bill, you didn't understand. Tell the audience, why didn't you fully understand what I was saying?
Well, I viewed it as we're going to be so isolated, nobody would see us. And that's exactly why you're worried. Because you'd be by yourself on a deer stand.
My man, yep.
And we'd hear a shot, and we'd think, oh, somebody shot a deer. And they'd be shooting you. And I don't want that to happen. So, I guess more than anything, I was disappointed I couldn't have my fun friendship with you, deer hunting, because we enjoyed so much and just talking and sharing the experience and the evenings together having a meal. And it's just a great experience enjoying God's great nature.
You know, it's interesting, Bill, that one of those situations, and I think that's the essence of Christians who have friendships between white Christian and black Christian, is that a part of what we have to do is listen to each other, find the common ground, and question, not questioning you like you're on a witness stand, but questioning you for better understanding. It's almost like, you know, that's why when you said, Odell, what's wrong and everything else, it wasn't that it was wrong. It's not that I didn't want to go with you. I love going hunting with you. I love traveling with you. But in the back of my mind, I was somewhat concerned that my friend didn't understand.
And so that's
where the hard work come in, the heavy lifting, trying to get you to understand, not trying to straighten you out, not saying, Bill, you wrong. No. I'm not trying to straighten Odell out to say I'm wrong. Accept me for who I am. I accept you for who you are. And when we hit those rough patches like that, we talk about it.
Yep.
We don't talk about each other. We talk about the situation and try to work through that. And that's the hard work, though. Isn't that hard, though?
It is. And, you know, I was disappointed that you couldn't enjoy the experience that we had because of those reasons. And, you know, what you've done for me in our relationship is you've changed my lenses on many things. And other people have done it also as I've grown over the last few years. And, you know, we went to Israel, we went to the Civil Rights Trip and all these other places. Every time we've gotten together, mm-hmm. something has come into us that changed my lens and given us common ground to talk about. You know, you're a black Democrat, I'm a white Republican.
I'm a good-looking black Democrat.
Amen. Amen.
But, you know, it's interesting that and this show is not about politics, but we understand politics is in the very air we breathe. But we all know what it's all about. It's about Jesus Christ, our Lord and personal Savior. Give unto Caesar what's unto Caesar, and give unto God what's unto God. But the thing about it is, do you ever get any pushback by having a good black friend, Bill?
No, I haven't. I put it out there. You know, it's all over Facebook, you know, pictures of you and I and our wives together and doing mm-hmm. things together. I haven't gotten any. And quite frankly, I was prepared for it that somebody might say something. And I was going to talk to him about that.
So the whole thing of somebody might say something, let's drill a little deeper. Say something like what?
Well, why are you associating with him?
Okay. Why? Because he's black, he's Democrat, or because he's good looking? Which one of those things? Because I understand the pressures on you by having this good looking, smart, black Democratic friend who happened to be a preacher full of the Holy Ghost and all this good stuff.
I think it'd be a combination of things. I think it's one, being a Democrat, my Republican friends look at that and say, why are you doing that? And then the other thing is just to color your skin, and which I find insulting. When somebody does that, because and I think people won't bring it up because they know I will shut it down.
Well, but Bill, understand now, black people are prejudiced too. I have some black people who don't like the fact that I hang out with this white guy, you know, so it's color your skin. So I think we have prejudice, bias, and racism on both sides.
So how do you handle it?
I just like, that's my guy. That's my dude. It's like, oh, damn, why do you hang out with Republicans? Don't you know, yada, yada, yada. I say, yeah, but I said not all, but some. Well, the white guy said, nah, Bill's my guy. Bill is my guy. You know, so I don't see Bill as white. Not that I don't see color. Now, I'm not going to make that. I'm not going to even tell that lie. I do see color. However, what I try to do is judge people on the character, not the color of their skin. I think we've heard that before. Yeah. The content of their character, not the color of their skin. But, Bill, you ain't been nothing but good to me. Mm-hmm. And we don't always agree. We don't always agree. Sometimes we disagree. But our default is not you black person or you white person or you N-word, are you this, whatever. We don't go that route. And the whole thing about it is, I think God brought us together as friends, and we enjoy each other. We don't see the same things. You know, we don't agree on the same thing. We don't have the same politics. But at the end of the day, we believe in the same God.
Well, it's clear that God brought us together. There's no doubt about it. And we can have that. Another show, we'll tell that experience because it's a great story. But, you know, what I find is, as I listen to people, you know, on different views on different things, be it religion, be it politics, be it education, whatever it is, there's extremes on each side. And that frustrates me because neither of them want to give in. Mm-hmm. And I find that with you, we have our beliefs and our systems, but we always move to that common ground, to that area. We find it someplace. And it may be just a little sliver, but we build on it.
Well, Bill, you know, let me just say this. And I grew up in a situation where a divorced single mom of four kids lived in public housing, and my mother had a massive stroke at the age of 25. Okay, so many people helped us. And I remember one Christmas in particular, before my mother had her stroke, we were in the projects I call public housing projects, don't want to offend anyone. And it was this one white lady who came over on Christmas Eve. I get it mixed up in my mind sometime, either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. And I just remember a couple of days, we had nothing. We didn't even have fruit. And I remember my mother said, I went down to eat, it was either Salvation Army or Red Cross. And she said, I talked to this lady, and this lady said, they didn't have anything else because my mom missed the list, but I'll make sure you and your kids get something. And Bill, I remember as a child, looking out the window, and I saw this lady pull up. And she had bags of groceries for us. So how can I hate white people when that white lady came and blessed our family? So if I didn't know better, I could hate her, but I knew better. So how can I hate? Because it's hard to hate up close, my friend.
Yep.
It's hard to hate up close.
Amen.
And as a Christian, that lady could have been with her family, with her grandchildren, but she was with us. So how can I hate you without knowing you?
Amen, brother. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, that was an angel. That lady was an angel sent from God. You know, that's, I can't imagine living the experience you did. I mean, I thought I came up with hard luck because we had eight kids. My dad was a fireman. We didn't have any money. We'd have electricity turned off, and we'd had old cars, we had old furniture, we had used clothes. I thought we had it hard. Man, when I hear your story, and then I hear stories of other people, I go, oh, my gosh, we had really a privileged life.
Well, you know, but not as a victim. And I apologize. Tears come to my eyes. Tears of joy, but also tears of passion. Mm. Not as a victim, but God's grace and mercy. Mm. God touched that woman. She came out. Mm. That's what I'm talking about. Jesus Christ is my Lord and personal Savior. So how can I discriminate against God and against myself when God has already proven himself to me over and over and over and over again? And I think as Christians, we need to acknowledge that. We need to acknowledge that, yes, not all but some. Yes, we have biases. Fair enough. We have prejudice. Fair enough. We have stereotypes. Fair enough. But we have to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is Jesus Christ Amen. Died on the cross Amen. For our sins. Amen. And the Bible says that we can't get in with a spot or a wrinkle. Is racism a spot or a wrinkle? Is a stain? And if it's a stain, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to get that stain out of us so we can get in, Bill, because we want to get in.
Yeah. Racism is all is what I call 6 inches. It's between your ears.
Wow. Say that again. I'm sorry. I never heard you say that again.
Racism before. To me is 6 inches.
Okay.
It's the distance between your two ears. It's your brain. It's in your brain. You weren't born with racism. Mm. You were taught it. And so we've got to figure out a way to neutralize that and teach people to love each other and to find the common ground. And, you know, I appreciate you sharing that story. That's a powerful story. And, you know, how old were you when that happened?
I was probably about 8 or 9 years old.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So I can hear people talk about black people talking about hate white people, hate white people, hate white people, or call me the N-word. Now, I got all in my life, but what I knew is that lady brought fruit over. That lady brought candy cane over. That lady brought toys over. And it wasn't no black person who brought the toys. You know, and nothing against black. I'm all down for black now. I'm all down for black. However, I can't not acknowledge that she did it. God used her to bless us. Mm. And that's just the truth.
Oh, man.
Because you can't deny the truth.
No.
Because the Bible says, I'm going to judge you on what you know to be true.
Yep. What just came through my mind when you were talking about that. Wouldn't it be great to meet that lady and talk to her?
I'm sure she's in heaven now.
Yeah.
She was an older woman at the time. And I'm sure, Bill, she was operating out of her faith.
Mm-hmm.
Out of her faith in God. She took pity on my mother. And we got blessed. So if we just believe in our faith, we believe in our faith.
And she changed an 8-year-old forever.
She changed a grown 60-year-old man sitting here crying. A good-looking black guy sitting here crying, y'all, wiping tears away because it's like, dog, God, dog, Holy Spirit. But when you think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you, it will make you humble and it humbles you.
Yep. And, you know, you need to be focused on the main thing. And if you're focused on the main thing, all this other stuff becomes secondary.
Well, but sometimes media, our friends, our families take us away from the main thing sometimes.
Your culture.
Peer pressure, culture. Takes us away, Bill.
Yeah.
I mean, how do we continue to be better Christians?
Well, you know, it's a fallen world. The devil's running loose. He's going to try and put a different lens on you. And you got to have Jesus' lens.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you say to white Christians about their black friends? Because sometimes you have black friends at work, but you don't have black friends at home. And what do I say to my black family and friends about my white friends? It's that sometimes I have white friends at work, but I really don't have white friends at home. And we, you know, that kind of stuff. Not forcing anything on anyone because people choose to be friend with. But let's try to give people permission, Bill, that it's okay to have a white Christian friend or a black Christian friend or a white friend, black friend. And you don't have to agree on everything. You know, it's okay. It's okay to agree to disagree. Because sometimes I found that's incremental. Sometimes we disagree on 85% of the things, but if you find that 15%, which is common ground, then once we get to know each other and get close, then 15% turn into 16%.
Amen.
And over time, and we may never get 100% because I don't even get 100% with my wife. And I've been married for 35 years. But at the end of the day, I love her and everything's good. So, Bill, close us out with what do you think?
I would challenge our listeners to do one thing.
Okay.
If you're black, find a white person or someone of
a token. Find a token black friend, Bill.
No, this is not catch and release.
Okay, all right,
this is
all
not
right,
catch and release.
Okay, okay. We don't want to do token Christian.
No, this isn't catch and release. Okay. You know, one. You don't have to do a whole bunch.
What a catch and release be? Because I kind of know that joke, but make sure people understand
catch
what we're talking about.
Catch and release was when you go fishing, you catch the fish and you release it, but you don't really keep it. And so when we don't want you to get a friend and release them.
A black friend.
Yeah, a black friend. We want you to keep them as opposed to release them. And there's a whole story behind that, and we'll go through that another time.
Yeah, that'd be another show. Yeah. Phil, listen, I love you, man.
I love you,
and I really just appreciate you and just doing this show together. We talked about it for years, and here it is. Look at God. Look at the Holy Spirit. And here we are sitting there. You got me crying. You know, how could a good-looking, slim and trim black guy, cool black guy, sit here cry, Bill? Why are you making me cry, man?
It's what I do. It's what I do.
Thanks for listening. Common Ground is made possible by Focus CFO, accelerating growth and profitability for small and medium businesses. More about Bill and Odell, along with the Common Ground podcast, is available on All Truth Program under the Programming tab at truthnetwork.com.
Whether you're a big, medium, or small business, managing and growing the bottom line is important. Focus CFO brings the experience and financial acumen of a Fortune 100 chief financial officer to your company at a fraction of the cost. P&L help, internal reporting processes, or any business transitions or events. Focus CFO will help you and your team have a CFO in your company's back pocket. Focus CFO. Learn more at FocusCFO.com.
This is the Truth Network.